Welcome to another episode of Ordinary Old Catholic Me. I would be remiss if I did not begin this podcast on June 25th, 2022, with a mention of the historic official reversal yesterday, June 24th, of the ill-considered, both legally and morally, decision of Roe versus Wade, which was issued in 1973, just under 50 years ago, that effectively made the Holocaust of babies a woman's distorted right. What the opinion does from a sound legal principle, the new opinion, which is Dobbs v. Jackson, is to allow the states and the people of each of the states to determine policy regarding abortion. In all the screaming and yelling about the decision, the fact is that the original decision, Roe v. Wade, usurped states' rights. Aside from finding a constitutional right that is nowhere in the Constitution. The thing I hadn't realized when initially I heard the news was that, yesterday, for Catholics, it was the solemnity of the Sacred Heart, and I believe it was also the day that celebrates the birth of John the Baptist. That heart, Jesus's heart, that bled for all of us on the cross of Calvary, embraces with love the hearts of all those children who were sacrificed as national policy on the altar of human narcissism. In the middle of this past week here in Los Angeles, there was the threat, well, given our drought, it was a promise of rain. It wouldn't be just any kind of rain. It would be the good old-fashioned East Coast type, a thunderstorm. Well, there was apparently some lightning and some thunder. I thought I saw a little in the distance, and a woman and her dog that she was walking were both struck and killed. We truly do not know the day or the hour. As for the rain, I was sitting outside on my terrace under my shade umbrella when I heard what sounded like a bit of hail, but it stopped quickly. The only thing that lingered were those thick, wavy, poofy clouds that portended the rain that never really came. They seemed almost painted onto the horizon, a combination of white and gray edges and the streak of a gray-blue here and there. They were, I guess I'd call them, impasta clouds. Impasta is a kind of painting where the palette knife is used to layer the paint onto a canvas, a tactile layer. That's what these clouds seemed, the kind you could reach out and touch, cliché of sorts, cotton candy clouds. At one point, there was this large pedestal of cloud, all swirls overlapping, and it occurred to me that this might be the type of cloud on which Jesus ascended. Well, at least it looked like the kind of cloud depicted in holy pictures. I was looking up at the cloud and imagining our Lord standing on it. The cloud looked that solid. I took a picture of it with the unlikely idea that one day I would paint it and attempt to place a figure of our Lord upon it, a personally created holy card on canvas. Unfortunately, although I do paint, I am not good at human figures or any kind of a figure. I remembered what we hear about that moment in the gospel when Jesus ascended into heaven. When they had gathered together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He answered them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has established by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight. While they were looking intently at the sky as he was going, suddenly two men dressed in white garments stood beside them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking at the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will return in the same way as you have seen him going into heaven." So after dying and resurrecting, and restoring the connection between man and God that had been lost in that act of disobedience in paradise, and a whole slew of subsequent disobedient acts, was he abandoning us to travel the road to our own Calvaries without any further providential help? Of course not. Yes, he would come back, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the same form that he left to judge the living and the dead, but he did not abandon us. He is with us always. He tells us, unto the end of the world. How was that possible? He left us a plethora of gifts of grace. We have spiritual tools that, alas, the modern Catholic, you and me, take for granted or don't see as the spectacular keys they are to passing through to the paradise that is now open to us again. There is no angel with a sword standing in front and preventing entry. The only ones who will prevent the entry will be ourselves this time, by our cosmic choice of yes, Lord, or the damnation of I will not serve. You know what the tools are. I know what they are. Some of them, these tools of strength, may in part be the reason that in our lifetimes we have seen what seemed to be impossible, the reversal of a cruel judicial federal policy. The cruelty isn't over, for now. The battle goes back to the states where it began. But one other thing that needs to be done for Catholics to remember and to spread to the ends of the earth as the apostles and the other disciples themselves did is that indeed he left himself behind until he comes again in the same way he left the apostles and lifted into heaven. Also, this last week, as the substantial clouds reminded me, was the kickoff of the 3-year Eucharistic revival. What's that about? It's not just that the non-Catholic world thinks we are a little dotty because we have this piece of bread that we believe, if transubstantiated into God himself, is the sacrifice Jesus. It's because many Catholics, in fact, according to at least one research poll, the Pew, 69% of Catholics don't believe in the Eucharist as being the real presence of Jesus Christ. If they look at it at all, they look at it as a symbol. If that trend continues, the Catholic Church really is no more, which, as we know from the promise of Christ, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So, while it surely feels pretty hopeless, as does the world around us these days, with COVID, the war in Ukraine, the abortion debate, and threats on anyone who disagrees with the prevailing modernistic nihilism, what better time to try to energize the somnambulistic Catholic that God comes to us in every Mass, into our bodies, to give us strength, not just symbolically, but in fact and in truth. We don't need to look up into the sky. He is here, now and forever. The return at the end of the world will be the culmination, the period at the end of the era of the human race, and we will be judged on what we did to tell the world of his presence, because also his presence was within us every time we took him on our tongues. If we don't believe that, the world can never believe it. So, last Sunday, a mere 5 days before the amazing reversal of Roe, all over the country, there were masses followed by the procession of the transubstantiated host, Jesus Christ himself, on the streets of various cities. Will renewal be easy? Nothing worth sacrifice is easy. That's another cliche. We know that. That's the lesson of Calvary. In Los Angeles, there were notices and bulletins and homilies telling the parishioners of churches everywhere that this special event was going to happen, the beginning of projects in education and social gatherings to focus specifically on the nature and need and purpose of the Eucharist for the next 3 years, in the hope that 100% of Catholics will go out into the world and proclaim the death and resurrection of Jesus until he comes again at the end of the world. Were there a lot of people at the ceremony at the cathedral? Well, I know that from my own parish, there were just five of us, at least, that went together. We've talked about what's happened to the modern church, the historicity of the loss of congregants, the debate over tradition versus evolution, but whatever caused it, the lackadaisical attitude did happen. Going to Mass for all too many of us is like hitting a base in a baseball game and nothing more. The changes were supposed to increase participation. Instead, people stand there stock still, almost looking bored. Okay, I went to Mass, but somehow we lost the why, the substance, Jesus Christ. We say it all the time. Do we know what we're saying? Do I know what I'm saying? That the Eucharist is the source and the summit. He's our lifeline to heaven, and we seem to be yawning all too often. So there were five of us from my parish, and while the cathedral holds about 3,000 people, and it had a lot of people, it was not filled completely, maybe because it was also Father's Day, and people had other things to do. And in Los Angeles, the other thing was that the preponderance, maybe the majority of the attendees, were the ever-faithful Hispanic Catholics, the others of our diverse population seeming to be absent. So, with all the notices and all the reminders, too many Catholics have yet to be awakened. And quite frankly, so do so many of us who even attended the procession and the Mass. I know, I'm sounding like that glass half-empty girl again. I'm reminded that I was skeptical about the reversal of Roe versus Wade, so I really have to pray to curb that tendency, which also leads to a form of sloth, an attitude of why bother. One of our group got to the cathedral earlier than the rest, and so we had a perfect front row seat to the Mass celebrated by Archbishop Gomez. It was a reverent Novus Ordo indeed. Choir music, a wonderful choir, by the way. Angelic voices wafting to the heavens along with the incense that actually at moments seemed to suspend in the air without movement, as if in expectation for something, for someone. And then the final exposition of the Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ in the starburst monstrance, leading us all out of the cathedral and into the streets of the downtown Los Angeles with prayer and song. The canopy at the very front, which protected our Lord and the Archbishop carrying him, went only a short way, 0.08 miles, but it was in the public street where all could see as cars passed, as people went about their business. God was passing them. There wasn't much press present. A couple of vans of local news channels, Channel 4, Channel 52, Noticieros. The passing of the life-altering Christ through the streets of Los Angeles or through the streets of any city would be a 15-second bite on the local news after the extended tales of helicopter chases and murders, and a society desecrating all of its traditions, especially if they are from God. At first, my friends and I were at the forefront, right behind the canopy, but as crowds will have it, folks slid past us and moved us backward. There was some singing, but I guess it was a bit more informal than I had expected, folks just sort of taking a walk beside and behind our Lord, perhaps not unlike as it might have been done back when the apostles and the disciples were following him around the Galilee. I had brought my favorite rosary with me. I had gotten from some Franciscan brothers that was made of olive wood and had this really amazing tree-like cross at its head. It was the very one that I had touched to the tomb of Jesus and dipped in the Galilee and in the Jordan, but I couldn't concentrate on prayer at all. But I was there at an historic time in our nation, our world, our church, and I have to think that that was something. We all took lots of photos to be put out on our parish website, some pretty outstanding, even moving ones of the Archbishop placing the large, transubstantiated host into the monstrance with the smoke of incense rising up into the heavens. On this day, there were no clouds. The sky was a pristine blue, and though it was warm, there was a perfect breeze. I wasn't as enthusiastic as I would have liked. But this is the beginning of a 3-year process, and that includes within me. Was anything much revived on this day? I don't know. But you see, The seed was planted, a small seed. We now have a small committee for our parish. It comprises basically the same people that attended the Mass, plus one. Two of the committee members are converts. I've said that converts are critical to our Catholic faith, in my opinion, for they have chosen deliberately what the rest of us were born into, and we take for granted, or we let go of, out of that same sloth that I so fear. We are fortunate to have several in my parish who can look to the needs of revival from a different perspective. You know, I've heard it said, and I have read, that if any of us truly understood what we claim to believe, those that even claim to believe it, which has gotten smaller and smaller, that the host is Jesus Christ, as present to us now as he was to the apostles, that we would fall prostrate in awe and a holy fear. I'm a little ashamed that I'm part of a committee that is intended to help revive the understanding of the Eucharist. Given how truly, kind of implicitly lackadaisical I am, not intentionally really, but out of distraction or depression or confusion that the world generates in me, in us, about the very thing about which I want to proclaim. But here's the thing, especially since yesterday and the overruling of Roe, as we watch the level of degeneration made manifest beyond all believability in front of cameras, it is clear that the sacrament Jesus carried in the streets last week is all that we have between us and perdition. And then, of course, I forgot to add, the intercession of his Blessed Mother. So it is most crucial that first Catholics, then all people, see what is the essence of the form of the host, God made man in substance, the same and as real as the one who went upon the clouds to heaven. You say you can't see that host as God? That's where the catechesis of the revival will come in, because the New Testament and then the early church fathers are clear that this Eucharist is God himself among us. In fact, there are signs in the Old Testament pointing to the things of the New Testament. The problem for me and for all Catholics growing up is that while we got the rote part, the memorization, many of us either did not get the wealth of information available literally everywhere now in videos and in treatises about why Catholics believe that the Eucharist transubstantiated is God the Son, or we left and never came back, and so didn't learn about it, or we left and came back and didn't really study. And even when we study, the ultimate mystery will not be revealed to us until after we pass on and are judged and breach the cloud of unknowing. You know the old cliche from Shakespeare's Hamlet, "There are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in your philosophy, Horatio." We are so myopic in this society, Catholics and non-Catholics alike. We hear over and over that the Church is the body of Christ, and that we, all of us, from the Pope all the way down to the last layperson, are his instruments. We are part of his body. The priest is set aside to consecrate that piece of bread into Jesus Christ crucified, and then we, each Catholic, hopefully in the state of grace, makes his body part of ours, and if we recognize ourselves as vessels for him, we extend him into the world at large, beyond the walls of the building we also call church, and sometimes mistake for the essence of the church. There are other analogies. He, Jesus Christ, is the vine. We are the branches. We are intended to reach out, carrying him to all people. How can we be caused to see this? I'm not just talking to you, but to myself. I was at a nursing home today with a nearly 99-year-old lady whose end-stage dementia is catching up with her finally. That's why today's entry into the crowded podcast world is late. I was with her all day. She is somewhat stable tonight. I don't know about tomorrow, and I will know more about her condition tomorrow. But every day at noon at this nursing home, there is a Eucharistic service when there cannot be a Mass. My friend can no longer receive, given her condition, but a nun came in her room and blessed her, and those of us who were there were able to receive. This was a surprise for today. I was attentive, but I still wasn't in the kind of awe I want to be in, and I really do want to be in awe. That's one of the key things that distinguishes Catholicism. What we have and aren't really understanding is that we have the fullness of the faith because, in largest part, we have God present as the center of every single Mass, and He comes into our bodies and souls whenever we receive. I mentioned in this program a while ago how an old friend of mine, an ex-Catholic as he calls himself, though the exact reasons have never been vouchsafed to me in my memory, and I think he left as a kid, once laughed at someone whom he observed making the sign of the cross as we all passed a church in a car. I was a new revert at the time, and I didn't even understand. What she was doing was acknowledging the real presence in the tabernacle, in that building, the actual body of Christ, the church, in the church building. His response, she's crazy. No, she is what we all ought to be, fully and fervently aware that Jesus is leading us as he led the procession in the Los Angeles street along a very narrow, perhaps even a narrowing road given the insanity around us, away from sin and to the bosom of the Trinity. So, we Catholics, we should pray for the fullest experience of the mystery of the Eucharist, our literal fuel for the trip to heaven. When I say, my Lord and my God, I need to mean it in the recesses of my being. And then, hopefully, I and others can help others to see it, if they are so disposed by grace, if we are all disposed by grace. Let us all pray for the revival, the Eucharistic revival. Well, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the program, and I hope you're getting involved in your parish's Eucharistic Revival Committee for the next 3 years so that you and I can fulfill our mission in God's purpose. If you're liking this program, hit like on the website and tell your friends about this program if you think they might be happy to hear another program about being Catholic by another ordinary Catholic. Thanks again.